You're listening to the Hey Gamer Gamer Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Hey Gamer Gamer Podcast.
Episode four,
mouthful of stupid. And if you listened to the last podcast, you'd know why. This is a video game podcast, but not just about video games, all kinds of gaming, nerd culture, pop culture, our lives, and whatever else we want to talk about. So, again, I'm Paul, and this is...
Alex.
And, yeah.
Probably right off the bat, before we forget,
yes,
we do have a website, which I guess anybody listening is probably aware, most of the people listening are aware of, is heygg.net. What most of the people listening are probably not aware of is that we also have an email address that they can contact us at heygamergamer at the very exclusive gmail.com.
It's true. And you can also now find us on Twitter at heygamergamer. And also we're on iTunes. Please subscribe on iTunes.
Chances are, well, I guess I don't know which one of us is going to actually be updating that Twitter.
Yeah, I can update it. Well, I'll give you the password.
I got a personal Twitter, I guess, that we could...
Well, if you want to plug your personal Twitter, I don't know.
Eh, not really.
That's what I thought.
Not right now. Well, I don't know. I'm putting some menial things out there. I had a good thing about how the, you know, the 2-pound bag of carrots is just a bag full of suck.
You know how you remedy that suck with the 2-pound bag of carrots?
Oh.
Balsamic vinegar.
No, no, I use a, you know, vinaigrette or it's those carrots are all malformed or like they have this sort of weird thing where they split open. You buy the 1-pound bag of carrots and they're all nice and small and crispy. You go up to the 2-pound bag of baby carrots and all of a sudden, like I have this, I should put it up later. I have a picture of this super deformed carrot that came in my bag. Of 2-pound baby carrots, it's about twice the size of a real carrot, like in width, but split open, sort of like somebody like opened a suitcase, except it was a carrot shaped suitcase, and it does not make any sense whatsoever. There's a terrible, terrible baby carrot, and I'm never buying a 2-pound bag again.
Excellent.
You know, fuck the savings of.
We're 3 minutes in and already Alex rage has spilled over from the last episode. It just could not be contained.
I guess that goes right into our new starting segment, I guess, that we're planning is, you know, what's pissing us off this week?
It's true. And
you go ahead. Oh, I originally had something else, but I think maybe the baby carrots are taking top billing.
Okay.
Accidentally.
So what's the co-feature? Baby carrots and...
I'll let you get... Maybe you unload something off of your chest, and then I'll come back around.
All right.
People are probably tired of hearing me speak at this point.
It's been 3 minutes. How could they? But no, just this morning, as I spent minutes on our Twitter account this morning. Whole minutes, Alex. You'd be proud. The only problem is when you go to sign up for a Twitter account now...
Yep.
They're like, hey, you need to follow 5 people. No, I don't.
What?
I don't want to. Yeah, it made me go through a list of popular contacts.
There's a lot of pretty... Follow Louis C.K. Not Louis C.K. Colin Quinn. Colin Quinn is the greatest Twitter ever.
I know, but...
He trolls all the time.
But for the sake of I want to get the Twitter feed
made
and just start recording, it was okay. So it's like follow 5 people and there was like a list. It's like you follow Barack Obama. You can follow Katy Perry. I'm just like, I don't need this. Where's the skip button? Nope. No skip button. Fine.
Of course. Gotta know what Katy Perry's up to.
Obviously. Yeah. It's very pertinent to my everyday life. And so I was like, okay, fine. 5 people done. Then the next screen, find 5 more people from these 12 subcategories. Music, sports, American politics, other shit I don't give a fuck about.
This would be a new feature, because I signed up and it didn't ask me to follow jack shit.
Wow.
I signed up because I was going to follow people. I've only kind of started you know, actually posting things. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I might as well, fuck it. I'm giving out my Twitter.
Okay.
If you want to follow me, it's at @AWNIEMI on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Odd Nimi.
Uh-oh. One of my roommates is going to have fun with that later. But yeah, so all right, okay, so I'm 10 followers deep into the sign up process. And then the next find 5 more contacts through your contact list. Fuck. I just want to get to
At
the
this
main
point
page.
You're following more people than I am. And I've had a Twitter address technically for about a year and a half, I think.
Yeah, like I have a personal one that I never use because I never have anything to say. Or when I just come on here.
Well, your big problem is that you don't have a smartphone. And that makes things a bit easier. I can, I've sort of started using it for any dumb shit that I don't think is worth, putting up on Facebook to send out to people I actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
I just, toss up on Twitter into the ether.
It was just long and frustrating, and there wasn't a skip button until it asked you to look for contacts through your, Hotmail or Gmail or
Facebook or anything else that asks
Facebook, you. Facebook, Yellow Pages,
Pigeon. With the Twitter, anyhow, you can follow Gearbox, and they've been posting Borderland 2 shift codes up on there. For those of you that don't know,
I didn't know that.
The video game Borderlands, they post codes that you then, on the various social networks and whatnot, that you're then expected to enter in the game, and you get free shit. Well, that's pretty much it. Very boring. Very boring, unless you play the game.
Yeah. We should also clarify, Borderlands 2, don't try to punch in shift codes for the original Borderlands game. You're not going to go anywhere.
Won't work. Well, the ones they posted were also on the Facebook page, so you're all right. Mm-hmm. It was the Halloween costume.
Yes, which I was very... It was the same skin for all 5 characters. And
they got lazy.
Very lazy. That's a Blizzard kind of thing. Let's just throw the same skin on everything.
Not even a very... it was a bumblebee type of skin.
It's not even scary.
So that they're all, all week, get ready for our spooky Halloween.
Yeah.
Fuck it, actually. I'm scared of bees.
Yeah, but...
Never had a very good experience with bees or wasps.
I've had a bad experience with the wasp once. It stung me in the eyelid. Oof. And that was the worst camping trip ever. So
you were squintier than usual.
Ooh. That's racist.
Indeed.
Let's get off the racist train, and you can tell me what's making you mad besides baby carrots.
Yes. Well, for anybody who thought, listened last week and thought, Alex loves Microsoft. Fuck Microsoft and their Xbox Live. The reason why is I've whenever on my Xbox, I've started using the cloud saving feature because, in case, something happens and my console shits the bed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in the middle of some game, especially, I tend to play a lot of RPGs, which, on average, you're looking at a 40 to 60 hour game.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than, at 30 hours, having your save file deleted.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you can just sort of quickly recover from.
No.
So I use the cloud save feature a lot. Last Sunday, I think, trying to get on my Xbox, and I couldn't connect to Xbox Live because of something that was stupid that was going on with my internet provider, actually.
Oh yeah.
Eventually I got on to Xbox Live. I had to do some manual editing of the DSN numbers on my Xbox.
Okay.
Weird shit, but I got on. But I found out during that period that I couldn't connect, I couldn't access my cloud saved files. Now, at all. Now, those of you that don't know, the way the cloud save feature works on the Xbox is when you start it up, it partitions a small portion of your Xbox's hard drive for saving your cloud save games. You save locally when you save to the when you like open up your disk manager, it shows your hard drive, your cloud save area. So it saves locally. Then uploads in the background to the server, but still keeps the local files. So I figured that the cloud save feature on the Xbox Live would work the exact same way, or similar to the way the PlayStation One works, mm-hmm. where if you can't connect, it automatically defaults to your local, or sort of like how Dropbox works.
Yeah,
uploads into the during the background, but everything's still saved locally. No, you just can't access your cloud save games whatsoever within the game.
Hmm.
I looked up on Xbox Live's help board. Apparently, if you need to access those games, you can always go into your disk space manager, right. Go into your cloud area, then copy your files back over onto your hard drive, then you can access them. So it is completely like they could have made things so brilliantly simple by just if you're offline, like you're still signed in,
mm-hmm.
just let me access the local shit. Maybe put up a message saying can't connect to Xbox Live right now. So, there's no guarantee that these are going to be like if you're on a different Xbox, that these are going to be the latest version of your save files. If you're using multiple Xboxes and, saying if you save. But it just irritates me. I mean, PlayStation Plus, cloud saves, and when you start a game, actually, theirs is very nice. Whenever you start a game, it asks you, "Do you want to upload the save information, back it up to the cloud?"
Oh, I would choose love that yes. So much.
All you do is you choose yes, and every night at a certain time, it uploads everything.
Right.
Of course, this sort of leaves the sort of situation. They could be nicer if it just uploaded things in the background like the Xbox did.
Mm-hmm.
But on one hand, too, with the PlayStation One, there's a small benefit in that if you're playing a game and you do something stupid, like I did recently, well, not recently, a few months ago, I did a sort of, save. Did something and saved and you forgot to do something else, and how sometimes you get locked out of certain events in video games after a certain point. So I was able to actually quickly go back to my cloud saves and upload the older save file, and then go back and restart over and do things properly. And
mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of with both Xbox and the PlayStation, both of their cloud saving features really are piss poor in the end. I mean, you look at things like Box, Dropbox. I don't know about Google Drive too much. I don't use it too much, but I know with at least Dropbox, not only does it save shit automatically, it actually does a bit of a version control too.
Right.
If you
can go back and edit.
Yeah. If you go online to their thing, you can actually say, if you saved a file today, you can go back and actually go and grab the file you had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So in case that you had a text file, you deleted a large portion and then saved it and had an oh shit moment, you can go on Dropbox and grab the old version, because it'll save a few
prior versions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know why they don't build rich features like that. Like, you can get that from a free service, but not through what you're paying, $60 a year for.
Yeah, I think I was really surprised. Like, the one bad experience I had with the cloud save on Xbox was that it doesn't. I thought it would just automatically back up, right? So I'd gone to my friend's place to play Borderlands 2, and then I brought my save file. I put it up on the cloud save, access it from his place, and then when I left, I thought, okay, good, it's going to save because that's where I accessed it from. And then I come back to my place, and that whole level that I had gained in Borderlands 2 was gone because it didn't automatically. Like, I would have had to go back and copy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you copied it to the local, or...
I suppose so. But I thought, I don't know, I thought in my head that it would make sense if it would just back up to the cloud.
It's a weird thing that they have. Both of them really don't work very well. Not as well as they could, I think.
Yeah, especially, and that's weird. Like, and, I get Sony, but maybe you think Microsoft would have that shit figured out by now.
Well, yeah, because they have their entire SkyDrive division as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're knee deep in the cloud saving shit, whereas Sony, you know, really beyond their PlayStation cloud. I guess they have the music cloud, but I mean, really, like, for file saving beyond their PlayStation stuff. You know, they don't have much, so they have kind of an excuse. But either way, for a service, like, you know, that's one of the bigger things that you're paying, you know, for the PlayStation Plus and for the Xbox Live for these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is, you know, stuff like that. You think they could put a little bit more effort into it.
Yeah. So just so I understand what your original problem was, like,
yeah.
So you weren't able to connect the Xbox Live, and there was no way to grab the saves, because you're still connected to the internet.
There's a way, yeah. There's a way to get that information, because it's still saved locally on your hard drive.
Right. It's just a
pain. You just had to exit the game, go over to your disk manager, then copy your save files for that game over to your
present three pieces of ID, your credit score. Yeah.
When it seems to me it'd be a very easy thing, just to set it up so that if you can't connect, you know, to the Xbox Live
that you can should still, be able to,
you can still grab the local versions of your cloud saves.
Yeah, you would think. I thought that's how it worked originally. So I'm kind of
No. If you can't get onto Xbox Live,
you're fucked.
You're not really fucked. You're just inconvenienced more than you should be.
Yeah.
You know, first world problem. But you know, fuck it. I pay $60 a month for that shit. I'm sorry, not month, a year.
Yeah.
Either way, though, they it's a very easy thing that they could work out, and you know they don't put much effort into their cloud shit, and that's really one of the few things that makes Xbox Live worth it.
Yeah.
And I know there's the entire being able to play games online with your friends, but that shit should be free anyways.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. Shane,
doing this shit anyhow?
I'm on it. Don't worry.
All right.
Okay. So, are you properly vented?
Yeah.
Because I feel like our next topic might just trigger some more rage, but we're gonna go into it.
How does that sound? We'll see.
So, right. For those of you who don't know, last Wednesday morning, well, when you hear this, a week ago, Lucasfilm was bought for $4 billion by Disney, and then Disney announced that in 2015 they would be rolling out a new Star Wars trilogy.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I'll start with my relationship with, you know, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a huge fan, you know, for a number of years, since about... I guess probably right around grade 6.
Okay.
Up until, you know, my first year of university or so, I was like a mega ultra fan. I read all the extended universe novels. I had all the little guidebook manuals. I could tell you how many turbo lasers were located on a regular Imperial class Star Destroyer.
Okay.
I was all in.
You were that guy.
Yeah. And slowly I started moving away towards other things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've always still loved Star Wars, and you know, even throughout the the prequels, like grade 6 to not about first year university, but maybe grade 10 or so, I think, as Mega, and then started slowing down, and then sometimes it'd pick up.
Mm-hmm.
When we had a period where we were really into the Star Wars miniature
the mini games.
Good times, you know, buying expensive figures and rolling
pieces
dice.
Of plastic. Yes, rolling dice.
But I guess you saw the Star Wars Kinetic game.
Oh, the Kinect game, you mean?
What?
No, Kinect game?
Kinetic, isn't it?
Oh, for what?
For Xbox. It's the one that the Kinetic is out for. Xbox Alex, 360.
It's called Kinect. The motion sensor thing, right?
Oh. I'm pretty sure there's an ick there.
All right. We'll leave it to interpretation.
I thought it was like, you know, kinetic, like kinetic energy, like motion. Kinect is just you're connecting shit. It's not connecting you to anything, I don't think. In fact, you're disconnected. It's all wireless. You don't have to touch a controller. They should call it a disconnect. Okay, now I'm angry again. Raw, rage.
Anyway, so there's the Kinect game.
Yes. Well, you saw the dancing portion of that shit.
No, I didn't. What?
What? You never saw Boba Fett having a dance-off versus a Star or Han Solo versus Lando Calrissian in the Cloud Ship, Cloud City, dancing off to, what the fuck was it? Oh, yeah, I'm Han Solo. You know,
yeah. No, I feel like I'm glad I missed
this
now.
I'm no hologram girl.
Oh God!
Or how about join the Empire today?
Wow. But yeah, no, I'm glad I missed that.
Is that you have to look that shit up?
Okay.
That was the point where all of a sudden everything in me about Star Wars just sort of
died
out. And you know what I said to myself? Okay, you know what? There's the original trilogy. I love those. You know, I'll still watch those. I own the DVDs with the extended and the original version.
Mm-hmm.
And everything beyond that, you know, and there's games I love. I love Battlefront and everything beyond that, I don't give a fuck. You know, they can turn Star Wars into whatever they want. There's stuff already that I like, and I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they come out with more stuff that I like, you know, that's good for me. And if they don't, well, whatever, fuck it. I mean, it's not going to, like, that's the point where I just wrote Star Wars off.
Right.
And you got to look up this shit because it is an absolute trap. Like, I couldn't help that this is the result of just a bunch of people in a boardroom saying, like, oh, you know, these Star Wars fans, they want to dance with their Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
This is what they love. They want, you know, ain't no hologram girl. They want to see Lobot spinning a. Well, actually, you know what that was for. shit. But they want to see Darth Vader and the Emperor settling their differences with a dance off.
Obviously. I mean, that's what I want from my Star Wars. What's wrong with that?
But so in mean, this news, it's like it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a bit of a hope spot too, because
that it.
Well, Disney did buy Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and that's not exact. Like, you know, the Avengers was
pretty successful.
Yeah. And you know what? It was everything. You know, it's not. It's by no means the Avengers is by no means high art.
No, no.
You know what? It's exactly what I wanted from that movie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, maybe if Disney, you know, does the same thing they did, you know, as they did with Marvel films, you know, just give the fans exactly what they want.
It'll be good.
We won't see anything incredible or mind blowing, but you know, at least they'll be, you know, Star Wars fans will be placated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's not a word. Pretty close.
Maybe placated.
Yeah, we're just, you know, part bit by bit putting together our own dictionary.
Yeah, we'll go back and make one. What was
crazy Suplonius lexicon?
Suplonius was the last one. Superfluous. I think
I said superplonius.
I'll go back and listen, and we'll assemble the dictionary.
Oh, we'll write some of these down. There's super
flonious.
Yeah, flonious.
I'm watching him try to type this on the Google Doc. It's amazing.
what was the one I just came up with?
I actually don't remember.
Palicated.
Oh, palicated. Right.
I'm typing this out with one hand because I don't have a mic stand yet.
No, neither do I. Equipment. So what I thought about this acquisition that Disney has made, when I tried really hard when episode one came out to like it. Like, I just really, really wanted to like it. And it was like that for the special edition for the original trilogy when it came out. I just tried really hard, but there was something...
We're younger then, too. I mean, remember I was grade 7 when episode one came out, and... Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, dumb enough that, it's sort of like the same feeling I didn't realize it until later on. It was the same feeling you had, like, when you watched, I'm trying to think, like, any of those Disney sequels.
Yeah.
That you liked.
It didn't feel right. It
didn't feel right, but you wanted to like it.
Mm,
and
yeah.
When you grow up into an adult, it makes you bitter because you realized... You know, it's absolutely, when you have it pointed out to you, it's absolutely terrible. And what you know, like even back then, you didn't like it back then.
No, you just really wanted
to believe so hard that this was actually just as good as the Lion King 2 was just as good as the original Lion King.
And it's not.
It all comes crashing down on you as an adult and just makes you all bitter and hate-filled.
Yeah. So when you're sitting there watching episode one, you're
which, ironically enough, brings us back to Disney.
Yeah.
The company that I'm saying might end up saving this. Oh, boy, am I full of contradictions.
It's okay. So what I'm getting at is that, like, as I watched episode one, I really wanted to like it. And by the time Revenge of the Sith came out, I was just like, I don't like this as much as I want to, and I don't. And then you look back on it now and it's like, did we need those three movies? Why can we just leave this mythos alone? And now with another three movies coming out, and I'm just rolling my eyes. It's like, do we really need three more Star Wars movies? And I think I heard the other day too that it's not just going to be three. They're going to crank out a new Star Wars movies every 2 to 3 movies.
And that's what worries me, the entire 2 year, thing.
Yeah.
Because, maybe they'll try really hard to make something worthwhile for the first one, but is it just going to be, diminishing returns after that? And the thing that gets me, too, is that they're dedicated to sort of continuing right from where, Return of the Jedi left off.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I think it could have worked if they... They even did sort of like a, making noise that really...
It's okay, don't worry.
Kind of could have worked. Maybe if they did the same thing as Star Trek, where, they said, all right, we're taking control of this. We're maybe doing a sort of semi-reboot thing or...
Yeah.
Maybe, placing it, sort of like there's those Dark Horse comics that, take place, 200 years after Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're sort of removing all of this from the original Lucas stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think
continuing it, with recasting, roles of Han Solo and Disney. So it's probably gonna they're gonna go with their players. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is Han Solo.
I'd like that actually.
I was gonna say. Johnny Depp is Chewbacca.
but he can't talk. What is he going to do?
This is Johnny Depp. He doesn't need
words. he doesn't even need a costume. He's
not even going to roar. He's going to communicate with elaborate hand gestures.
Yeah.
I was originally going to spout that off as a joke, but the more I thought about that, the more I think, if this happens,
it could work.
That'd be fairly incredible. I mean, I don't know if it'd be very faithful to Star Wars.
But
it would be entertaining.
And
like I said earlier, I mean, that's all I really want at this point.
An entertaining Star Wars,
dance monkey there.
To the chagrin of a lot of Star Wars fans, none of the expanded universe stuff is going to be touched upon, I don't think.
So I doubt it. I mean, you heard right off the bat a lot of people saying, like, oh, they're going to do the Heir to the Empire trilogy.
No.
I highly doubt you're ever going to see Grand Admiral Thrawn you know, in any of these films or any of the expanded stuff. And it really makes sense. I mean, they're going to
just write whatever the fuck they feel like. And that's going to upset a lot of people because I'm pretty sure that's been a conversation since forever. What from the expanded universe are they going to use? And nothing.
Well, it'd be kind of nice if maybe they got like, you know, a Timothy, I can't remember what his last name is. Something.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of these some of the better, more well-received expanded universe writers involved in this.
Yeah, but how likely is that to happen?
Well, like I said, hard to say. Like with the Disney, or sorry, the Marvel stuff, you know, it's been handled like pretty well with in terms of the films. Anyhow, I mean, I'm not too up to date with the comics, but
right.
But the films, they've been. I think one of the big things they have been doing is they've been getting a lot of the comic book writers involved and. You know, they got, you know, directors that, you know, sort of have a feel for, you know, how they work. And
right.
Like, I'm saying this, there is the potential that this could work out.
Yeah, it certainly could work out. I'm just not holding my breath this time. I think there's a lot of people are excited because George Lucas isn't writing or directing any of it. So a lot of people are like, okay, good, a fresh take. He's staying on as a creative consultant.
Yeah.
So what that actually means is beyond me. But I don't know. I guess I'm kind of at the point right now with Star Wars where I don't know if you've heard the Paul and Storm song Thanksgiving.
Maybe.
It's pretty good. When we were at PAX, they played it.
I probably heard it, but I was maybe half asleep at the time.
No, I don't blame you. But
run it down for me.
Yeah. Well, the whole point of the song essentially is that they want the Blu-rays.
Oh yeah, that's it.
The unedited edition of New Hope, Empire, and Jedi.
Not the laser disc.
Yeah, not the laser disc, not the DVD. We want the Blu-ray just with the original versions, not special edition. And you know what? I feel like I'm at that point too. Like I'm just so soured by Podracer Episode 1 and all that junk, right? And I just want my original trilogy. And you know what? Maybe I'm assuming Disney got publishing rights. Like, I mean, when you're paying,
they got the entire thing. Like George Lucas is, like, you know, Lucasfilm, you know, Star Wars, the game rights, you know, the entire shebang.
Yeah. So I mean, if they're smart and Disney likes money, they will put out those editions on Blu-ray, and then I will buy that, and I think. I'll be good. Like I don't own a Blu-ray player. Okay, so
Disney will do it. I mean look at their Disney Vault stuff for the original films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll retouch and then they'll have a big announcement and like, oh, buy it now and then before we put it back.
Lock it away forever.
Or 20 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Be viable to sell it.
Yeah. Which I would buy it in a
Disney
heartbeat.
Disney likes money, all right. I mean, they have $4 billion to,
to just
try and milk out of this.
Yeah.
Well, they have to earn that money back, too. I mean, there's no point.
I don't think it'll be hard.
Not going to be hard, but, you know, they want that money. And, I mean, that's an easy, you know, easy...
audience to make it from.
Yeah, you know, a couple of million at the least is, you know, the unedited Blu-ray version.
Oh, yeah. I will snap that shit up. I don't even have a Blu-ray player. Like I said, I don't have Steam, a DS, or a Blu-ray player, but I will buy a Blu-ray player
Blu-ray's an odd one where, like, you can easily skip that because it's pretty much going right to digital downloads. And Blu-ray had such a, short life. I mean, Blockbuster's dead.
Yeah.
You know, you can't even rent a Blu-ray from anywhere.
But, did you? Just
you should pick up
random...
if you do, you should pick up a PS3.
Yeah, I might have to do that. I'm catching a lot of flack for not owning a PS3, despite most people I know owning an Xbox for whatever reason. Literally, it's like for if there's 10 people, 8 have an Xbox and only 2 have a PS3. But those 2 people that have a PS3 give me so much flack for not having one.
Yeah. I don't know why they can't just, you know, some like I know there's always talk of, you know, cross play between consoles and whatnot and, you know, computer and. They just got to figure that shit out someday.
Yeah, I agree.
They'll never will, but
no, I don't
can always dream.
Yeah. And I lost my train of thought, but do you have anything else on the Star Wars tangent?
Not really. I mean, I've heard various reasons why Lucas did this. I mean, some people are you know saying you know. They're taking the political angle, like, oh, Lucas wanted to liquidate his money, or because you know Obama's going to take it. It's real,
of course.
You know, ones that make a bit more, you know, like beyond the entire George Lucas is just tired of you know fucking Star Wars fans and you know people making entire documentaries about how he raped their childhood, which you really can't blame him.
No,
for hating anybody that, you know, claims to be a Star Wars fan at this point, because these people have given him more grief than what is due for what is ultimately, you know, his, well, was his, still yeah. is his, like, you know, even though he sold the rights, still.
It's still George Lucas's baby.
Yeah. You know, and for what, you know, he, like, granted, you know, may not agree with everything he's done. But, you know, the fact that they sort of had the audacity to claim that, you know, it's larger than him and that he should just, you know.
Yeah.
Like he has no. Yeah. He has no right to touch it and do things. And, you know, he has the right to do whatever. Well, he had the right to do whatever the fuck he wanted. And you know, well, the one that made the most sense, too, is the fact that none of his kids have any interest in sort of running this entire Star Wars empire.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. If like, yeah. if you're a child of George Lucas and you look at just look at all the flack he catches. Never mind. Like, do you want that? I wouldn't want that.
No,
no.
Well, like, and you know, he just figured, you know, sell it, get the money for it, and that way, you know, when he dies, it makes it easier to divide his assets,
mm-hmm.
so that you know he prevents any sort of. You know, these legal troubles that, you know, pop up when dividing an inheritance that doesn't have, you know, an exact monetary value.
Right.
You know, especially at the time when, you know, the person who owned it, you know, is dead, because then it's sort of like, well, if we keep this, you know, we can sell it for more in a few years, or is it worth more money to keep, or, you know, and that sort of shit tears apart a family. This way, you know, George Lucas has, you know, $7 billion.
Yeah,
and you know X percent, as dictated by his will, go to each of his kids to, you know, probably in some form of trust fund.
Yeah, and like the other thing I just thought of, I mean, like George Lucas isn't a young guy by any means, right? He's 68.
Yeah,
$4 billion. That's a nice little nest egg, you know.
Well, plus the 3.75 that he,
well. Is that the figure for how much he made while he still owned the franchise?
When he sold it, he's already owned. He is already worth. I think like he had $3.75 billion in the bank. Like when he loses half of that $4 billion too to taxes.
Yeah, still.
So I mean, he's not even doubling his money on this.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. It's still.
He's not. Yeah, he's not gonna.
He's not really suffering.
Time coming for George Lucas.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why the sort of, you know, sell it to, you know, for to make dividing his assets among his kids, a you know, idea serious. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, because I think he's part of that pact, too, with Bill Gates and some other guy where, you know, they sort of make a pact like, you know, when we die, half of our assets goes to charity.
Oh, right. Off the bat.
I remember reading something about that, like, you know, Bill Gates is part of that and, you know, some other rich guy where it's like, well, you know, we have more money than we'll ever need than, you know, what our kids will ever need. I mean, you know, I think they sort of see like, yeah, you know, two or three generations down the line, our descendants will probably end up being, you know, rich kids of Instagram. If you've ever seen that site.
No, but I'm going to look now.
I'll plug that. Look up rich kids of Instagram if you ever feel like vomiting.
Sweet. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, Star Wars sold to Disney, shocker. But, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it'll be what it is. I mean, after Star Wars Kinetic, which is your other homework.
Yeah, okay.
I just, you know, whatever. I have the original trilogy in whatever form. I mean, not the greatest, but, you know, it's there. I have it on VHS as well. And
woohoo!
Yeah, look up one of those old machines. But,
yeah,
you know, it's there. I can enjoy it. You know, there's some video games I like. You know, there's Shadows of the Empire on the 64. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, Battlegrounds and Rogue Squadron. And, you know, there's shit already.
There's some good shit there.
And, you know, that's not going to disappear.
Nope.
And you know what? Anything new, I can just ignore. I mean, whatever. Yeah. You know, if they want to turn it into something that's, you know, purely for another audience, you know, that likes to dance to the tunes of, you know,
Star Wars
theme, Solo and Solo.
Yeah.
Then, you know what? That's fine with them. They're not going to get my money.
So, you know what we need to do? We need to appease the hipster genie to erase everything past the original trilogy. We're out of wishes, though. Yeah. We've got to find someone new.
Yeah. Well, that would be a hipster genie wish. That would be a good one.
It would be a good one. Kind of like my Highlander thing, except, you know, better.
Yeah. I mean, Highlander 2 didn't really hurt anybody.
Except us when we watched it.
Even then, you know, at least that's, you know, so bad. It's good. Like, really? I mean, you know, Connor McCloud, all of a sudden, two guys on, like, what looks like a goblin jet gliders come out of nowhere and attack them.
Yep. Yeah, now that I think about it.
And it's crazy shit that, you know, as long as you turn your brain off, it's just wacky and, you know, enjoyable. Whereas episode one, like, there's It's like, yeah, this is sort of okay. Like, it's not, like, terrible, but it's not great.
Yeah.
And at times it's like, ugh, stupid.
Jar Jar Binks. That's all that needs to be said about episode one. So,
episode one just meanders, I think is the best word. And just meanders in, what's the word I'm looking for? Mediocrity. Which hurts, considering how much, you know, you like the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm. And you want it to mean something, but it doesn't. Yeah. Well, I'm sure it means something to someone. There are people who love those movies for some reason.
Oh, there's young people seem
to. Yeah, there's that. Like, I guess when you're 5 and you see it, you don't care.
Which is what I mean about, like, just the fact that, I guess, with Star Wars, they seem to want, you know, a different audience. They want that, you know, 5 to 12-year-old demographic. And, like, look at the Clone Wars. That's obviously what they're aiming for. The new one, not the that first one that was animated by that Samurai Jack guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's okay.
It is okay.
You know, I have the stuff that I like, and... You know, if they produce something else that I like, you know, good for me. If they don't, I'm not going to buy it. But, you know, if they have an audience that's pleased with it.
Well, yeah, they'll cash in on it.
They'll cash in, and good for them.
Yeah.
I'm at peace now.
You're at peace with it? Okay. So let's disturb the peace and move on to... Robots in disguise. So look... just same thing with Star Wars.
Well, that robots new trilogy. In disguises that, you know, go to the highest paying advertiser, really.
That'll be part of my point. So when I saw I guess why we're talking about this is because I found out the other day that there is a 4th and 5th Transformers movie coming out. I don't think there's a director pinned to number 5 yet, but Michael Bay is still doing number 4.
Oh, you're I'm pretty sure he'll be on 5.
Yeah, probably.
As long as they throw money at him, Michael Bay will continue to explode shit. And
I was going
to
say.
You know, demean women.
Yep, there's that. A lot like the new trilogy in Star Wars. When I watched the first Transformers movie, I tried so hard to like it. But, you know, there's something that just didn't sit with me well. And you've met my friend Scott. Yes.
Yeah.
So I went to see it with him. And I knew that these movies weren't going to be
for me. You should get Scott on here sometime. He'd be
Yeah. Well, good luck. We'll try. Yeah. I knew that these movies weren't going to be for me about the same time Scott did, except he was a lot more vocal about it.
Yeah.
So the scene in the theater, too, and this is a good story. The scene in the first movie when the Allspark, I don't know for what reason, I can't remember because I try to just erase this from my mind, but the Allspark is spinning around, hitting every goddamn machine in sight, and they're, you know, it's spawning little Transformers. And then it hits the Mountain Dew machine.
Yes.
And there's a Mountain Dew Transformer shooting cans of Mountain Dew. And Scott just stood up in the theater and, why don't you shoot cans of better movie?
Yes. Well, that was the most blatant advertising I've seen in a movie since about iRobot.
Well, yeah. What? Yeah, with the shoe at the beginning.
The shoe, the fact that, like, oh, he likes retro thing.
Retro to give him an excuse.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was I think that's the summary for the first Transformers movie for me. Why don't you shoot cans of better movie?
Well, the problem I had was, you know, well, once again, you said, like, you know, about, you know, not knowing which audience is for, which is a good question. What, like, I guess that movie did really well, so it did find an audience, but, like, what audience was that movie for?
I'll tell you who it wasn't for. It wasn't for us.
No.
People who watched the cartoon in the 80s.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't for kids, per se.
No.
I think, you know, there's no kid that thought, oh, yeah, I want to watch, you know, Shia LaBeouf try and put the moves on what's-her-face Freak Thumbs.
What? Stop. Okay, I'm going to put this comment. Freak Thumbs?
Yeah, like, have you ever looked at what's-her-face's...
it's Megan Fox, by the
way. Megan Fox's thumbs.
This is where we differ, because I don't really generally gravitate towards her thumbs when I look at her.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's one of those things, like, once you see it, you'll shit bricks. Like, you're not going to notice it, but if you do, all of a sudden it's like, she has, like, freakish looking thumbs.
We're both Googling this. So just while you're looking at it, though, you were talking about.
Yeah, here we go.
Is this being linked to me in the Google Doc?
I'll paste it in the Skype conversation I'll do the Google Doc because it's probably less of a chance of me accidentally disconnecting this shit.
Yeah.
There we go.
Jesus Christ. That's a big mess of code. Okay, so she's got an ugly thumb. That really ruins it for you? Well, seriously.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, it's kind of...
Wait a minute. I want to look at this website. Website for image. Hand research. This is an entire website dedicated to...
Yeah, I just use Google image search, but...
Okay, so we're going to talk about hand research next week on the podcast. I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Anyway, we really got off topic. No, wait, let's go back. So thumbs, Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Transformers in the audience it reached. Go.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think kids want to watch Megan, like, Shia Fox try and have sex with Megan Fox.
It's also Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
LaFox. What the fuck?
Shia LaBeouf try and get into Megan Fox's pants with the help of Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, something that's going to reach your 5 to 12 crowd.
Yeah.
you know, at the same time too, like too many humans.
Yeah, there's a lot of human talky-talky and not enough robot fighty-fighty.
Like you said, I mean, you know, definitely does not appeal to the geek, you know, watch the 80s cartoon show crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess it must have reached them, but I just couldn't imagine the, you know, your hip, you know, was popular during high school crowd, you know, saying, oh, let's go watch Transformers.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, yes, this, you know, teen drama between Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox is doing it for me. This is very intriguing writing.
It's very it moves me. It entices me. No, I didn't
Cast me.
It what? You got Skyped straight up.
No, sorry. I was just thinking of this like 911 call type thing about a guy who shot his wife because she enticed him across his lifetime.
Oh, I got it. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll be on the next podcast too, right after hand research.
Yes.
So that's all I really had to like. I was not impressed with those movies. I haven't watched the second one.
The second one I've seen in parts. I was working at a furniture store that had that movie on
all the time,
and so you know whenever I was walking past it, I'd see bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They have those really two stereotypical robots that I don't know just seem
it just awful. Like so I haven't seen the second or the third movie in its entirety, and it just
the third one just, I couldn't care less about. I guess they're both on Netflix, so
woo. Yeah. Like it seems like the same crap over and over
doing a homework for both of us where we watch these two movies and give our opinions on.
We'll talk about that.
I know the second movie is seemed to have a lot of dumb things going for it. And then the third movie, you know, they just straight up replaced Megan Fox. And now Shia LaBeouf is apparently, you know, has some other random hot girl that is his girlfriend and important to the plot for some reason. Because, you know, romance is what you come to see a movie about giant transforming robots.
Yeah, obviously. I take my dates on that. Does that kind of film all the time? My no dates. That's all I really want to talk about as far as just how utterly disappointed I am. Not at like a Star Wars level, but just at a sigh.
Yeah. Well, apparently it has its audience, so good for it.
Good for it.
Who the fuck wants to watch that shit? But apparently they do enough for them to make a fourth and fifth movie now.
Yeah. Our web guy really likes the Transformers movies for some reason.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those things where it's, you know, just, you know, stupid. I mean, some of the shit, like the CGI shit in there is awesome. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, some of that stuff too. Like during the second movie, they have that scene where Optimus Prime rips apart a robot's heads with two heat hooks.
Yeah.
That just doesn't really seem like a very Optimus Prime thing to...
No.
He gets fucking violent in those movies.
He's just so mad.
Yeah. For the wise leader of the Autobots, you know, he does some very monstrous things to his Decepticon enemies.
Yeah.
Like when he's in the middle of it, like even the first movie too, he like fucking stabbed that one robot to death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I guess this may be like a staple for the series that Optimus Prime is just going to fucking murder one of his enemies in a horrific fashion at some point during the movie.
Maybe that's like Michael Bay just can't get the balance. It's like, oh man, I have too much love story here. Better have gratuitous violence.
Yes, done by the, you know, pure-hearted leader of the Autobots.
Yeah.
Going to fucking, like in the first movie, stab a robot to death. In the second, you know, that one wasn't too bad with, you know, the Tomahawks. But in the second movie, just gonna tear a guy's face to pieces.
Autobots. Yes. So hey, how much longer do you want to go? A little longer today?
We can keep going. What are we at right now?
We're almost at an hour, but I don't got anything to do anyway. So
yeah. Well, we'll finish the movie break at least because we have a couple of more. Couple of more topics here to discuss, and then maybe we'll go on to to what we find creepy with Japan this week.
Yep.
So you're saying apparently Arnold.
Yes, they're doing a another Conan the Barbarian movie, but with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So the premise being, you know, he's been the Wise King for so long.
Yeah.
And he wants to, you know, he wants to die gloriously in battle. And like some Valhalla shit.
Mm-hmm.
But does anyone actually want to see this movie? Is what I want.
People that have actually read the original Robert E. Howard books might, which mm-hmm. me included. Because, yeah. Because people have, I guess, only been exposed to Conan through, you know, the general, you know, pop culture.
Yeah,
and comic books. Like, when you read the actual books, you know, he, like, the entire books actually start with, you know, him as, king of this, you know, empire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of touch briefly, you know, mentioning, like, you know, he was a lot of shit just besides a loincloth wearing, you know, barbarian. Like, you know, he came from the Northlands, you know, he's had, you know, his ups and downs. He's been a pirate numerous times, you know, mercenary, adventurer, you know, doesn't really wear a loincloth too much.
He's a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he's a jack of all trades that has been, you know, an army general and then a king, and, you know, and the short stories seem, you know, to follow him at various points in his life and the various adventures he goes on. And so, I mean, depending on, you know, what sort of route they take with this, I think it has the potential to be a good Conan story that's, you know, true to the original material.
Right. Now, sorry, have you seen any? I personally have not seen any of the Conan movies with Arnold. Have you?
I think I've watched the first one, and it's the only one that's, you know, remotely, you know, good, really.
Yeah. Now, is it canon to the novels at all? Is it just
not really?
Okay. So this is what I'm getting at, really, is like, it could be good, but I didn't know how canon the movie was to the novel. I don't know how anything Conan is really.
Well, Conan, has a kind of a very loose canon as well. Okay. I mean, details change from novel to novel. I mean, the only constant is that, you know, Conan's
a badass.
Yeah, badass from Chimera, which is, you know, sort of, I guess, kind of up north, but not really up north on the, you know, the Hyperbian continent. You know, that takes, you know, that exists in a time before, you know, continental drift, you know, caused all the, you know, continents to break up. And
right.
And, you know, so he's, you know, this northern, you know, guy. A lot of people consider him, you know, like a barbarian because, you know, they're sort of a clansman type, Vikingish type deal. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, occasionally, you know, he fights wizards and, you know, elder gods and various shit like that.
Okay, so that's like the loose mythos of Conan.
It really changes a lot, like, you know, what exact point in his life. Or I read two stories back to back about him becoming a pirate.
Yar.
And, you know, like, you know, both of them sort of somehow seem to indicate, like, I don't know, like, different levels of experience, you know, on a ship. And so they don't exactly, you know, fit like puzzle pieces as far as I can tell, but at the same time, like, it's very like myth-like. Oh, which is sort of a thing I want to bring up in the Star Wars topic.
Right.
Okay. It's about how I always thought that George Lucas probably could have saved himself a lot of grief if he sort of took like the Nintendo stance with Zelda, which I don't know if you know it, and for those of you who aren't familiar with it.
You talking about how they released the timeline finally?
Well, even before the timeline, I mean, it was sort of always known that like the games sort of take place in some sort of order, like, you know, in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like they're saying, you know, like detail, like it's told as a myth. So
right.
Just like with, you know, if you look at Greek mythology or, you know, various mythologies, what else, awesome Norse mythology. Like various stories will have contradicting facts or different takes on things.
I see what you're
getting. So, you know, one thing in, a future Zelda can contradict something in an older Zelda. But, they're both canon because they're it's a myth. So things myth. Get distorted, throughout time. And I thought if George Lucas started, because Star Wars takes place in a galaxy long time ago in a galaxy far away.
Far, far away, yeah.
Sort of saying, midi-chlorines.
Yeah.
That's how information, in that particular story is being presented.
Yeah.
So, from episode 4 where, the Force is, just purely mythological or, mm-hmm. Or the fact that, people say and it's only been 19 years since the Jedi have been eradicated yet. They took a major part in the Clone War and, now people like Han Solo, Jedi, these, people that, I guess within my lifetime disappeared, really, that they're just these magical, creatures. And despite the fact that, my best friend, fought beside one in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I don't believe in this shit. The Force. Yeah, fuck you, Chewbacca. I don't. Yoda. The fuck's a Yoda?
Well, yeah, what is that? Somebody
what is
eat?
That? Very beginning to doubt your military record, Chewbacca. Forget who owes who a life debt. That involves me, fucking telling, the people that once saved your people from droid annihilation, saying that they're full of shit.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting though, right? Because you think about it, yeah. And if all the, in the time between Return of the Sith and A New Hope, that if all the Jedi are wiped out and all we know are, Vader and the Emperor, and we don't know how many Jedi are actually out there because they're driven into hiding.
Yeah.
And I think what'd you say? How many years is it between Revenge of the Sith?
Luke and Leia born at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and right. They were 19 at the beginning of A New Hope. So,
mm-hmm. Well, if you think about it, let's say it's 19, 20 years between movies. Like, I can see how in 19, 20 years, if some religion popped up tomorrow and then it was really prominent and then it disappeared, then, after some time, after 20 years, if no one's talked about it and it's, right.
There's also that Imperial officer too, that almost acted like the Force didn't actually exist despite that. He was an older officer and probably, served even in the, I'm just saying, if he sort of just said, it's sort of like a mythological type deal. So details from, one movie, even though they're all canon, they're all, only taken, things are taken at face value within the story that's being told, sort of.
Right. But what I was getting at, it's if it's been 20 years and if there's not a whole lot of information on it, or if it's been dismissed as just this hokey religion, yeah, sure, they're not going to know about midichlorians, right? That's all I had on that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, people would have probably stomached a lot of what, George Lucas sort of what he did and whatnot, if he sort of went with that kind of angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because his big, I think the big problem people had where he's canon is whatever the latest shit that comes out of my mouth is. And, Star Wars had that multi-level canon where there's Lucas level and then there's sort of Lucas rewritten level and EU level and anything produced by, I think it was Lucas and then anything produced by, Lucasfilms type deal, the Clone Wars, where Lucas wasn't 100% involved, and the 3D Clone Wars series, and it was weird, and I think he could have sort of, instead of having this multi-tiered old stuff being retcon deal, just saying, everything's taken for face value within the work that's being stated.
It is a myth. Righto. Wow, we got back on Star Wars from Conan.
Yeah.
Woo! Now,
just a quick
aside, little Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just to wrap up the entire honorable thing, I was like looking through the TV guide on my TV recently, and they had, one channel had a Predator marathon where they had Predator, and then which was the original, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting.
Get to the chopper.
The TV guide description described as a sneaky alien. Yeah, you know, and, he fights. And then, Predator 2, which you're unfamiliar with, and I'm only somewhat briefly familiar with.
Yeah.
Which is, the Predator is in some American city hunting down, drug dealers.
What?
As sport.
Okay.
Once again, described as a sneaky alien as well.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy greatly. This ultimate, killer, badass hunter. No, he's just a very sneaky alien. Well,
because you can turn invisible, Alex. That makes you sneaky, right? Sneaky.
Well, it seems, when you describe somebody as sneaky, it's a lot less, just murdering people for sport. And more just, pulling wacky hijinks. Like, he steals your drink or, like you reach for your cup, but he moves it. He floats in the air, pretends to be a ghost.
So what you're saying is if we were predators, we'd be the trolliest predators ever. Never mind hunting.
I'm just saying if you're describing something as sneaky.
Yeah.
It's more towards maybe E.T. was sneaky at times.
Right.
But, I don't think you really should be describing a predator as being, sneaky, stealthy.
Stealthy, yeah. Sure.
There's a lot of they could have pulled out whoever typed that up could have pulled out the thesaurus on that one and looked for a better word.
Mm.
But anyway, yes. Predator 2, I mean, quite a fall off there for the predators. Again, the first one, they're hunting a mercenary squad made out of former Green Beret badass army guys that include Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Terry Crews in that one? I don't remember.
Who else? There's a bunch. They're all.
Yeah, they're all pretty tough
guys. Tough guys.
Manly dudes doing manly things.
And there's some sport there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, number two, Predator in the big city.
Yeah.
Just hunting down, drug dealers and getting to a confrontation with a cop doesn't seem.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very.
Like, it seems to me like even if he hadn't died when he got back to his culture, like everybody else would have, I look at what I hunted. Really?
That's it. Come on.
We're
a big Austrian dude.
That, yeah. We're a species that in, various canon, drops, aliens with acidic blood just so that we have good sport. But no. You're looking for dumbasses that shoot sideways. That's what you killed.
Predator 2, disappoint. Transformers, disappoint.
Well, with the sequel, you usually try and, go bigger and better.
Yeah, right. So, like...
Whereas this...
This
like,
is not...
Terminator 1, the T...
1000.
No, that's Terminator 2.
Oh, right. My bad.
It was the Arnold one, and, he's big and intimidating. And then the second one is, a Terminator made out of liquid... metal that you can during the first one he slowly accumulates damage but mm-hmm. still unstoppable, and the second one he can turn into multiple, like he disguises himself as anybody and instantly heal from anything.
Yeah,
so he's bigger and badder. That's the same thing too. You sort of had end on a down note, sort of like they say with the Star Wars formula going back there.
Yeah, the first Empire.
Even though they didn't have a Death Star in the second one, added more with a personal confrontation with Vader, and they get their base destroyed right off the bat, and they're running, and Vader chops off Luke's hand, and
the Clerks argument. Luke finds out Darth Vader's his father, gets his hand cut off. Boba Fett takes Han Solo away.
frozen in carbonite.
Like, it's sort of like where the first one ends, you know, like, they maybe have this. The second one ends, it's like, oh, shit, they could lose this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Predator 2, like,
no tension.
Maybe just go after some drug dealers, arguably making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the movie, but, you know, it seems to me he's maybe doing a bit of community service.
Yeah, maybe. We really need to get, I mentioned this once already, but like, man, this we need a sucker for the hipster genie to just wipe out a bunch of films.
And just get rid of all sequels.
Maybe.
You know, we consider the Star Wars prequels as a sequel to the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm. So get rid of that. Get rid of every Highlander. Get rid of every Predator pacifier. I don't know if you saw the remake recently.
I haven't.
No, I didn't either. I just didn't have high hopes, so I didn't bother.
I've heard some people say it's okay. And really, it's not like, you know, the first Predator set a super high standard.
No.
It's a fun, dumb action movie. Not going to pretend it's a work of high art that they should have never had the audacity to try and remake.
Yeah, not like Star Wars. Yeah. Okay. So,
creepy
wanna,
time?
Can we get? Can I get? I really enjoyed your "Japan is fucking creepy" chant the other day. Can we get one of those?
Oh, the what was it? Japan, you so creepy.
Yes, that's what I wanted. So, here's what I got this week.
Picture the Japan, you know, being saved by Chris Tucker. He can't have much work these days. We should get him to create a stinger for us.
Okay, I'm on.
I think that's doable with our budget.
Yeah, we got food and some. I got $20. You want to do that? That'll be more homework. What's Chris Tucker doing these days? Anyway,
yeah.
So, I thought I had it this week, and yours is just weird. But this one is just wrong on all levels. There's a
went for the completely wrong.
Yeah. Well, it was also the first thing I saw. So there's a cop in Sapporo in Japan who has been called caught is what I wanted multiple times paying for sex from 13 and 16 year olds girls, I should say. Oh boy. And despite being prosecuted for this, the charges have been dropped. A cop in Japan having sex with underage girls. And his excuse is that, oh, but they look 20.
Well, it's a standard excuse.
Yeah.
She told me she was of age.
Yeah. 16. I thought she was 35.
Girls these days grow up so fast. I mean, you know what? 8, 18, it's all the same.
I love this line too, in the article. He has since tendered his resignation, perhaps intending to take up teaching instead. Oh, great.
I think that was
so he can be around more little girls.
I think that was sort of a jab at the fact that a lot of teachers that, you know, get caught having sex with students get an easy pass.
Yes.
As well. I mean, if you look around on you found this on Senkaku complex.
I did.
You know, they're within their similar links. There's, you know, about, you know, another, you know, tons of stories. Yeah, you know, teachers, you know, pulling that shit, and it's like, well, you know, probation.
Yeah.
That'll teach you. Take some time off work.
Take some time off work. Have
Think
a nice
about
three.
All those minors you had sex with.
Yeah. Have a 3-month.
Did you learn
vacation.
Your lesson?
Yeah. Okay. Good. Get back out there. Protect us. So that's just. I don't know if that's. Well, it is creepy, but it's more upsetting than anything. So, and you just
well,
came with
yours
the weird
is very
shit today.
Disturbing.
Yeah.
Where instead of creepy, I kind of went. Weird. I mean, there's not really a story attached to this. In fact, it's absolutely nothing.
We'll have the video up on the blog post later.
Yes, it's just a video about like a minute long of, I guess, Japanese girls just sort of, well,
Diving headfirst
into a puddle of mud and just emerging with just their, like, they sort of go into a semi upside down cannonball position.
Mm-hmm.
They plop in and, you know, sort of all that's visible is their feet. Like the first one, you can kind of think like, oh, okay, maybe this is just some sort of weird like polar bear type deal, because it's just a, you know, a girl in her swimsuit doing this.
Yep.
And they don't even get up right away too, which is awkward.
Yeah, it's creepy. Like,
they just
sit there for a
minute. Watch the video and they just sit there in the mud upside down.
Mm-hmm. Asses up to the world.
Yeah, ass up. The second one is where it gets weird, where it's a, you know, a girl in a schoolgirl outfit doing the same thing.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like, am I watching? I don't know. I didn't understand what I was watching.
There's no, like, there's sound of them falling in, but there's no description. There's no, nothing to think that this is maybe some sort of game show or event.
Yeah, it's just some dude or girl, I guess, taping Japanese girls jumping into a mud puddle and not moving. That was the worst part. Like, they just didn't get up right away. I was like, oh, is this some weird kind of mud snuff porn?
Well, that's where I'm, like, my interpretation is that, I mean, everything, like, especially once you get to the schoolgirl outfit one, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, like, this is probably was meant for somebody to masturbate to.
Yeah. And there's some weird stuff. Like, I don't know why, but I thought of this video someone linked to me. It was called Cake Farts. And it was just a woman with no panties on. And you're like, okay, all right, there's a cake. What is she do? She's putting her anus and just farting all over that cake. And the first thing I thought of was like, this was probably made for someone to, you know, get off to. And I don't get it. And I don't get the mud thing either.
I'm wondering if they sell the cake afterwards or...
Oh, God.
Oh, I bet somebody would buy it.
Probably. Not me, though.
No. I just go to the store, buy a regular non-farted cake.
Yeah, non-fart. Can I get the non-farted variety, please? Thanks. How weird would that be? There's someone in the back just pants down, farting on a... How do our podcasts always end like this? Hookers, people farting on cakes.
Because we end with the creepy report.
Yeah, I guess, but...
Disturbing.
Prostitutes and fart jokes. Maybe that should have been the name of the episode.
A branch out a bit.
Yeah. Next week, the podcast solely on farts and prostitutes. I could get an hour of that. I don't know about you. Mm.
See what new words I can invent as well. Well, we have to cover famous hands.
Yeah. Okay. We've got enough homework for now.
So, well, you have to look up Star Wars Kinetic Dancing.
And I'm going to keep arguing that it's Kinect because it's spelled K-I-N-E-C-T.
Yeah, you're probably right. But it just doesn't make any sense. Because I figure like kinetic energy.
Yeah.
Because it's about moving yourself.
I get it.
You're not connected to the Xbox. It films you. You don't have a controller. Like, usually your controller was your connection to the Xbox.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But
you just got to learn to love the bomb.
Or maybe I just have a more, you know, better marketing sense than all of Microsoft, and that's very easy to argue.
You're going to be Microsoft's public enemy number one pretty soon if this ever
this is turning full circle now.
All right. And on that note, we're going to cap it off for this week. Yep.
Please check us out at heygg.net. Email us if you have anything to complain about at heygamergamer@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Twitter at heygamergamer.
Or leave a comment on our blog.
Yeah, or leave
subscribe on iTunes, too.
Yeah, like maybe 5 stars, but then in the comment section, tell us how much we suck. But the 5 stars helps the algorithm, so just do that. We'll read it, I promise.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week.
See ya.
Mic drop.
Laugh and sing. Be happy, it's the thing. Be happy, wink your eye. Then fix your tie. Be as I, be happy. Fall in line. Be happy, waste no time. Be happy. happy, time won't wait. Why hesitate? Call it fate. Be happy.
All right.
Cool.
I will stop this recording.
No.